Oh, Blanca and Tadashi. Very getting very excited there. Not backing down. They're just getting very lively into the beginning of the second hour, where I'm joined, I'm pleased to be able to say, by the one, the only, the inimitable, the pride of... Do you know, I was going to say pride of Yorkshire then, and then I had a moment's thought. I'm not sure if that's right, is it?
Well, I'll take it.
Okay. All right. It is the one and only Warren Evans, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning, sir.
That's enough of that. Good morning. Good to see you. You're well.
I'm very well. It's great to see you as well, Paul.
He is the CEO of Sports Chaplaincy UK, of course, an old friend of the programme, and sportschaplaincy.org.uk is the website. Sportschaplaincy.org.uk. Have a look at that while we are chatting. Does exactly what it says on the tin, really, doesn't
it? That's right, Paul. I must say, you're looking well this morning.
Nah.
Have you dropped some weight? You're looking very dapper.
Oh, he says the nicest things, doesn't he? If only it were true. Sports Chaplaincy, you've got people at the wheelchair games at the moment, haven't you?
We have basketball. In Hamburg, yeah.
Yeah,
doing a fantastic job. There's, I think there's four of them out there.
Is that something that's developing more and more? Because, I mean, we're used, and we've talked before about how sports chaplaincy puts chaplains in at elite level sports and club level sports, but also at local club level sports as well. But the sort of whole sort of, I suppose, the Paralympics and games like the Invictus Games, and so, is it more and more that we're opening up and we're seeing more and more disabled people getting involved in sport, or their involvement being recognised?
I think it's about their involvement being recognised. I think it goes back to the 2012 Paralympic Games that it really took off in the public view. And I think from a Christian perspective, we need a heart of compassion for people, and there's so many opportunities to serve our local community, and yeah, wheelchair and all those great sports are there to serve.
So then... So,
I can see you're lining me up for something.
Well,
here,
you know what's coming, don't you? Because this week there have been two elite sportsmen, and we're not going to dwell on the individual cases, okay? We're probably going to shy away even from mentioning their names. But there have been two elite sportsmen in their field, in cricket and in rugby. Both of them have... Well, had a lot of conversation around their behaviour off the pitch, and whether it was, you know, whether it was justified or not, whether it was self-defence or not, whether it was, you know, the regrets have been expressed or not, and regrets have been expressed, but where the whole thing of sports people and the role model idea. What's your thought about that? Because we do expect more of them, don't we?
We do, and on one level they are role models. On another, we have unrealistic expectations. They're just people who are good at sport, and that doesn't mean they're good in any other area. But they do have a responsibility. But I think the social media, and I think the whole gamma array, their lives are under the microscope. I think we've all done daft stuff, but if it was put on the newspapers and spread over social media, we may look not as good as we are. So I think it's a really challenging thing. I think people need educating on how they should behave and finding safe environments to let their hair down. But yeah, it's a challenge. It is a real challenge.
But see, I have some sympathy with it, because, you know, just because you're a really good cricketer doesn't mean that you are, you know, Mother Teresa in your moral perspective. But at the same time, does that not come with the job? Does not the fact that they get paid, and especially elite sports people, doesn't the fact that they get paid massive sums of money to do their job and to represent their nation and to, you know, and all the privilege that goes with that, isn't there an obligation on them to think about how they behave? And if they go out and they get hammered on a Saturday night with their mates and they end up lamping a copper, you know, that can't in any way not only not be acceptable, but surely they should have to pay severe consequences from that.
I think you've got a good point there. I think we all have a responsibility. So when we step out of the boundaries of good behaviour, then there's consequences to pay for. And certainly with elite sports people, they can have this attitude that it's self-deserving, in the sense of, I'm great.
Do you not know who I am?
No, exactly. But also, are we unrealistic? Are the chief execs of business? Are the ministry leaders that have all done daft stuff and got away with it?
Fair point.
So I think I don't want to point the finger. I think we should provide that support. And that's part of the chaplain's role, is to provide provide that independent support to help and listen and maybe offer independent advice sometimes where they may not get when people are just telling them what they want to hear because that's what they're paid. Rather, someone saying, hey, do you really think that's helpful? Do you think that's the best choice for your life? And they've got to make choices. We all have that choice to make in life. Should I go left? Should I go right? Should I have another drink? But it's about educating young people to make healthy choices.
Because that's the concern, isn't it? That what we see, the behaviour we see in elite sports, it has a knock-on effect on youngsters and, you know, so club-level sports, but also junior-level sports, and that sort of Sunday league football games. Now you've got kids throwing them, taking dives. I think we've talked about this before, kids taking dives and going and, you know, arguing with the referee and so on, because that's what they see their heroes do. It does have an impact, and are we not in danger of spawning a next generation of sports people who maybe have even further lost sight of that?
I think you're right, there is a trickle-down effect, but I think right across society, you look at TV, reality TV, you've got people wanting, what do you want to be as a kid? Famous. What does that mean?
Yeah,
And therefore, I think as society and as Christians, we've got to point to a better way.
He's my guest for the remainder of this hour. We're going to take a look back on some of the stories that are in the news, hear what he's got to say. Have a look at the website, sportschaplaincy.org.uk, because if you're involved in local sport, it could well be that you could be a light shining in that community, and they would want to support you with that. sportschaplaincy.org.uk. Warren Evans is the CEO, my guest, to look back on the week.
Love is patient, your love is kind. You always break through for this heart of mine. Your love is pure like the morning light. There's no one like you that can give me life. And when my heart is broken from so many times I've loved and lost, you sew me back together carefully, wonderfully. No other love is like your love, 'cause you gave your everything for me. You won my heart right from the start, and you hold me for eternity. No other love, no other love, no other love. Your love's divine and mysterious, and it's as endless as the universe. Your love is more than I can understand, forever holding me within your hands. I feel my heart is reaching when I catch a glimpse of who you are. You made this soul to love you carefully, wonderfully, fearfully. No other love is like your love, 'cause you gave your everything for me. You won my heart right from the start, and you hold me for eternity. No other love, no other love, no other love, no other love. Nothing else will do, nothing else but you, nothing else. Nothing else. There's no place I can hide that your love cannot find. You won't ever make, you won't ever make. There's no place I can hide that your love cannot find. You won't ever make, you won't ever make. No other love is like your love, 'cause you gave everything for me. No,
Jasmine Murray and No Other Love. My guest today is Warren Evans, and it comes as no great surprise to me that we're going to talk about Barnsley. Go on there, lad.
Well, there's a great letter from Barnsley Football Club's chief exec to one of their fans. They've noticed, and this is great when and club and the community are connected, they noticed that one of their fans was struggling from some of their social media engagement, and they've sent this fan a wonderful letter of support and signposting them to support. And I just think that's wonderful that a big club, or even a medium-sized club, or a small club, recognises the fans, values the fan, and actually signposts them for support. And I think that's church. And when I read this letter and I saw it, I thought, man, that should be what church is doing.
Yes.
And so for me, it was a great encouragement of the power of sport, but also the power of just outstretching the hand to someone who you value and appreciate, that everyone, however small or big, is precious and important.
And I like the fact that they draw attention to the fact, I mean, that there's a relationship with the charity Mind.
Yes.
As well. And the fact, I would imagine, and I bow to your superior knowledge on this, but I would imagine in sport, like an awful lot of things, there's an awful lot of relationships with an awful lot of groups. And indeed, if you look at the bottom of the letter from Barnsley, there are an awful lot of sponsors and partners and so on that are included on the letterhead. But I like the fact that though some of these relationships are undoubtedly just the kind of, you know, lip service thing, they're actually taking this seriously.
Yeah, and I've got to give sport, as in a general capacity, have really grappled with mental health, because society and church struggle with it, but sport have really grappled with it, with Mind and State of Mind and other services that we've provided, recognising that we've all got challenges, and really tackled the stigma. And I think church, sometimes we've struggled with that, and general society. So sport, I take my hat off to sport, because they've really grappled this one issue. There's loads of issues they haven't grappled with.
Yes.
But this one issue, I think they've grappled with better than most people in society, or most areas or aspects of society. So yeah, they've signposted to a wonderful charity, but also recognising that we all struggle with our mental health. And I think part of church, we always think we're strong or resilient. I hear this all the time, but we all drift in and out of good mental health because we all have challenges.
Yes.
And part of that is about seeing those challenges and supporting people through those challenges.
And I know that there's sort of within sport, recognising the pressures that sports people can face, and, you know, maybe leaning back towards the fact that sometimes in the past those pressures have not always been handled in the best possible way. But there is increasingly the use of therapy and counselling and that sort of psychological support for players as well, which must make it more accessible for fans. The fact that they're heroes actually don't see any weakness in sitting and talking about their mental health struggles. It's a good thing.
I think it's a great thing. It validates it. It takes away that stigma. It says it's okay to talk. And I think that's one of the key things for a chaplain. It's okay to talk.
Yes.
We're there to listen. We're not there to point the finger, but just to listen. And it allows that steam, that pressure pot sometimes, when you've shared, the steam goes out of the pot.
Yes.
And it stops some of these other issues we were talking about earlier on happening, because they've talked to someone, they've expressed it, they've got it out of the system, and they've been signposted to helpful support.
Especially for men.
Especially for men, in the challenge. When you look at suicide and mental health from the puberty right up to 40, they're the challenging ages for men. And and therefore, yeah, we've got this British culture, haven't we? Stiff upper lip and you hold it all in. But actually, we've got to talk, we've got to share, we've got to get off our chest. And in that, we become stronger. But it's about being vulnerable as well.
And do you think within the church as well, I mean, that we need to actually be more, not just open to talk about it, but also to talk about the idea of having counselling, having therapy, having that sort of going on that journey to take a look at your mental health, and to recognise that if there are issues, it's not necessarily a spiritual failing.
Exactly. I think so often in church, and mental health can be many things. It can be emotional, physical, spiritual, and most of the time it's not just one thing, so we try and box everything. So I think it's really important for us as leaders as well to admit when we're struggling, to say it's okay to struggle. We all struggle, rather than saying, hey, I'm okay, you must be a failure if you're struggling in your Christian faith. We all struggle at different times, and therefore give people permission to share, but also permission to say, I'm picking this one up, I'm okay now, I'm going to run with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that I had personally had an experience where having had some counselling about some issues that I was having to deal with and having to face at the time, I had a friend who had received a lot of counselling over the years. And when I next saw him and I said, oh, by the way, I've been having some counselling. And that's all we said, and we just moved on. He came back to me and he went, the fact that you were willing to say that to me, he said, knowing the journey that I've been on, the fact that you could say, yeah, this impacts me as well. He said, that was such an encouragement to me. And just being willing to acknowledge our humanity, our frailty, that we are not perfect, that we haven't got it all sussed, is really important.
You've hit the nail squarely on the head for me. I've had similar conversations, and it allows people to say, oh, it's not just me. It takes that pressure where the enemy sometimes says, you're a failure. Actually, we're all failures without walking that journey. We're on that from glory to glory. We're walking that Christian faith. Yeah. And for us to partner with each other and say, hey, I'm struggling, pray for me. I'm struggling. Or just talking and getting off your chest in a safe environment with safe people.
Absolutely, absolutely. While we're up north.
While we're up north.
Up north, like, you know, hey, to me.
To you.
To me.
To you.
Oh, dear.
The Chuckle Brothers.
Yeah, I mean, and I wondered if you would mention this, because, I mean, for our age group and, you know, and our kids' age group, because they were iconic figures, weren't they? And Barry Chuckle, of course, sadly died last week. Do you remember the Chuckle Brothers fondly?
I was probably... Yes and no, but I think older
you're
going to
tell me you're too young now, are you? Get out of here. Come on. Oh. You can remember the 90s.
I was going to say I was too old. They're an odd sense of humour, but the reality of it, they brought a lot of smiles and a lot of joy to people's lives. And guess what? They did it to... Well, he died, except he was still performing.
Yes.
And guess what? That also... There's a great... picture there that your life doesn't stop at a certain age, but you can carry on and you have something to give to not just one generation but many generations. What a great inspiration.
Yeah, absolutely. You're listening to UCB One, it's Talking Point, it's Friday Roundup. My guest is Warren Evans. This is 10th Avenue North. If you've got a comment on anything we are saying, then pitch it in by emailing paul@ucb.co.uk.
As I walk this great unknown, questions come and questions go. Was there purpose for the pain? Did I cry these tears in vain? I don't want to live in fear. I want to trust that you are near. Trust your grace can be seen in both triumph and tragedy. I have been loved in the depth of my soul. In the flood of the fire, you're with me and you won't let go. We'll be right back.
10th Avenue North, and I have this hope. I have this worry. I worry that Warren has been with us so many times now that he's got to the point where he starts to know me. And I'm worried that he's starting to pick his stories when he comes in because he kind of thinks that they'll get a reaction out of it. You wouldn't do that, would you?
No, never.
Perish the thought.
Perish the thought. Paul.
Sportschaplaincy.org.uk is the organisation, the charity that Warren is CEO of. And he's taking a look at these stories. Go on then, tell us about these students in Durham.
Well, Durham University had planned to do 8 a.m. lectures because of their increase in student numbers.
That sounds like an excellent idea.
Excellent idea. Sets them up for the real world.
But mirrors the working day.
Yes. Outrage by the students because of lack of consultation and they like their beds.
What sort of time do you start work in the morning then? Usually?
It varies from 7 to 8. But yeah. Sometimes earlier. But yeah. Very, very unlikely to start later.
Well, you see, it's much the same for me. I'm at my desk at 7 o'clock, at least 7 o'clock every month. Very often it's half 6. So yes, I think that's reasonable. I think that's right. What was the reaction from the students then?
Outrage. Outrage. How dare you?
First world problems, lads.
Yeah. Why? Well, they're like, basically, it basically says there wasn't enough custom. But basically, if we cut through the mustard, it's because they like the beds and they don't like getting up early. That says it all. Your face, if I could describe your face, just the look of...
I mean, in fairness, right, now, if one does try. In fairness, Durham Students with Disabilities Association did actually say that the proposals did have serious and potentially highly detrimental implications for disabled students. Now, that, if that had been the reason, I'd have been on board with that. Yes. I get that, because we do need to make, you know, reasonable adjustment. We do need to recognise for people who live with disabilities, sometimes getting themselves started in the day and getting themselves ready to get to a place early in the day is a lot harder. So I would go, fair enough that. But primarily, it was the others who just didn't want to get out of their pit in the morning.
Yes, basically. And it was business students, so I don't know what they're going to do when they get a real job.
You can just see her. They go on the apprentice. Alan Sugar says, I want you in work for 8 o'clock. You're fired. Now, you know, it's... Oh, honestly. It's interesting, though, that our immediate point on this was that it does... If you're having to think about being at your place of work, whether you're a student or whether you're in work, for 8 o'clock in the morning, it does mirror many people's experience of the real working environment. I would have thought that would have been something that the university would have embraced and that the students would have embraced. Have the university changed their mind then?
They have. They've cancelled those plans. The challenge is, if they're trying to get more students educated, it means the lectures day will run till later. And it causes more issues. Do you really want to be doing stuff at 8 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock at night?
Finish work one?
Yeah, don't ask my wife.
If you've got an opinion about this, get in touch and share it. We'd love to hear from you. Email Paul at ucb.co.uk.
Listen, watch, read. This is UCB One.
And this is Francesca Battistelli.
Calling and calling, nobody home. It feels like I'm falling alone. Out on an island, SOS on the beach, watching your plane pass over me. How could you miss me with my hands in the air? I thought you were listening. I thought you'd be there. Where? come to my rescue. Footprints on the path I've been on. Now I know they were yours all along.
Francesca Battistelli, and Where Were You? Robert's got in touch as we're talking about 8 o'clock start times and students and so on, right? And I think, I honestly don't think, Robert, you could have made your point more expressively than this. I'm just going to read it deadpan. This is as he sent it. In my head, I don't know where Robert's from, but in my head, he's got a northern accent, because he goes, I start work 4 days a week at 7 a.m. Work is a 35-mile car trip away with no possible public transport option. Exclamation mark.
Says it all.
I think we get the sense of what you're saying there, Robert. Yes, and I think you've got sympathetic hearing here in the studio. You're listening to UCB One. It's our Friday roundup, taking a look back on the week with my guest today, of course, Warren Evans. And this week saw an attack on Westminster, another attack on Westminster, a car driven into the barrier. Thankfully, there were no life-threatening injuries. One woman was seriously injured, but no lives were lost, no shots were fired, no explosives went off, and so on and so on. And it drew your attention, not just because of that, but because of some of the other stuff that was being said about it. And one newspaper ran I think it was almost like a timeline of how many attacks there have been in recent years on Westminster and that area around of London.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. One, I think we've got to be so grateful for government and police and MI5 and MI6 for how they deal with all these issues that we never know about. And so, therefore, we should be grateful. And you know, we were saying Ephesians 6 says, pray for those in authority. But I also think so often we give this too much credence, in the sense that, are we breeding a fear pot here? Are we breeding fear when actually life must go on? But also, are we also setting people up to get their 15 minutes of fame? If we ignore it, will they stop doing it in that sense? Yeah. So there's a lot of issues here and a lot of tension.
Yeah, you see, I had a really interesting conversation with our news team about that. On the day when that car was driven into the barrier, we were saying, you know, about the level of coverage, because it became wall-to-wall coverage on the news channels. They weren't talking about anything else hardly, and there were lots of other things going on in the world that day. And our news team made that point. They said, you know, is there a danger here that what is a relatively minor incident, actually, we are blowing it up into something far bigger, creating a culture of fear, and, you know, giving the oxygen of publicity to the people who do these things so that they get their face on the camera.
I would totally agree. And it is a challenge. Do we tell people? Do we not? Do we share? Do we feed this fear? Rather than actually, and this is fear and faith, the two sides of the same coin in that sense. Do we say in faith, thank you for the great work of the police, thank you for the great work of government, thank you.
Yes.
Even when we can be critical and point the finger when they get it wrong. But then we're giving oxygen, as you say, to these causes, to these people who are doing things like horrendous things. And if we take away that oxygen, does that die? Does that driving factor for why they're doing it, to get publicity, to make a point that is not...
In some cases, to become a martyr.
Exactly. So do we take that away?
Does highlight, and this week has highlighted, just how many attacks have been foiled by the security services, and the complexity of dealing with these issues, doesn't it? I mean, it does push you towards that, pray for those who are in authority over you, pray for the government and the rulers and so on. That injunction on us to pray for the establishment, I suppose, the state, the movers and shakers in society.
I think it's so easy to be critical, and actually God asks us, as you've quite easily pointed out, that we're there to pray for people, and especially those in authority that carry such weight on their shoulders, and it's so easy to point the finger, but actually we should be not pointing the finger, but praying for them.
Absolutely. You're listening to UCB One. Get in touch and let us know what you think today by emailing paul@ucb.co.uk.
You're listening to Paul Hammond on UCB One.
And my guest today is Warren Evans. Hi, Robert got back. He says he is a northerner, but he's actually even further north than I imagined, because he's in Northern Ireland. What about you, Robert? Lovely to hear from you. Thank you for getting in touch. And hi as well to Carol. We were talking about work times and so on. Carol says, when I used to work, they had to change my working hours because they could see I was struggling to get into work so early due to my medication for my MS. It is difficult to get started, get your body and mind moving. But once I'm started, I can keep going for a few hours anyway. Love the show. Thanks for talking about this. And I think that's a valid point, isn't it?
Very valuable.
And employers more and more are willing to, and you know, are understanding of the needs of disability, and create an environment where people living with disability are able to give meaningfully into the environment of workplace.
And certainly if we go back to that story about education, there's lots of technology these days that people can do it from home, watch Facebook live.
Yep.
So there's means of navigating this. But the reality is, we sometimes, if you look at the vast majority of the students, they're able to, they choose not to because they like the bed.
We're not going back there again. Oh, Carol, lovely to hear from you. Carol's in Ayrshire in Scotland. Lovely part of the world. It's where my family come from. This is Seeker and Servant. You're listening to UCB. It's Friday Roundup. As I said, if you want to comment, email paul@ucb.co.uk. You can also give us a ring, 08456 300 400. Calls are charged, 3p a minute, plus your company's access charge. If you want to send me a text, UCB1, followed by your name and your comment to 70500. Texts are charged, standard network rates.
I thought that I was free.
Seeker and Servant and Hearts Change. Now, if you go down to Aylesbury in Buckinghamshire, then it's sadly, you have to have a funeral down there. You might want to make sure you take a few pound coins with you, because you're going to have to find some way to pay for the parking for the hearse. This is an incredible story about the Aylesbury Methodist Church in Buckingham Street in Aylesbury. And they're not happy with the council, are they, Warren?
They're not, and I can understand why, because we have these challenges sometimes where discretion goes out of the window, where outside the church now they've done double yellows where they used to have parking bays, and they've suggested they park the hearse further down the road and walk the coffin up, and that's caused some issues, and rightly so.
Now, I mean, there are those who do like for a funeral to have the coffin walked through the streets, but this is genuinely... We've got parking down the road, so rather than parking in front of the church, I mean, it's a lovely church, one of those big old-fashioned Methodist churches that we see in our towns and city centres, lovely old building, but it is walking up the road. And the council have suggested that they don't need to worry, but they're a little hesitant to trust that advice, aren't they?
Well, it says that at one funeral, where they've put cones out to block it for the hearse, that a traffic warden was actually moving them. So discretion sometimes, yes, goes out of the window. Jobsworth, a letter of the law, not the spirit of the law.
Do you think we have that more these days? That actually what, you know... That whole thing, like common sense, I suppose, you would have expected in days gone by, perhaps when there was more respect for these sorts of things, that a traffic warden would have actually helped to keep the space clear and, you know, turned a blind eye for. But nowadays, do people feel more pressured to observe the letter of the law?
Yeah, I'm guessing it's financially driven, and people, common courtesy, not seeing the bigger picture. They may have never had a funeral, so they don't know the impact it has. It's lack of social awareness. I'm not sure, but you see this all the time. Where I saw a programme only the other week where an ambulance got a parking ticket, and the guy was arguing, it's like, it's an ambulance. How are you giving him a parking ticket? And he felt completely in his rights. You've not got your blue lights on. I'm giving you a parking ticket. Yes, really challenging.
Yes, indeed. I wonder what you think about it. Do you think that perhaps the pressure that is put on these civil enforcement officers, although the councils might say they have discretion, I wonder if perhaps they feel pressured that they have to make sure that every I is dotted and T is crossed. Do you think as a society, perhaps, we have lost the respect for situations that could be emotionally intense and the need to be flexible in those situations? What do you think? Get in touch. Let us know today. Email paul at ucb.co.uk.
UCB One.
Flash of light. Troubles come without a warning to turn the day into the night. Oh, and everything's changing. The truth is still the same. And I know that no one can ever steal it away. I'm gonna dance to the beat of amazing grace. Gonna hold to the promise that you made. And I know whatever's gonna come my way, you're here with me. And it's gonna be a good day. And it's gonna be a good day. Good day. Fear can be so convincing, but I will keep my eyes on you. In every moment, help me remember that you always will bring me through. Oh, cause you're forever faithful. The truth is still the same. And I know that no one can ever steal it away. I'm gonna dance to the beat of amazing grace. Gonna hold to the promise. And I
for me, you'll be with me till the end. Because you're for me, you'll be with me till the end. Because you're for me, you'll be with me till the end. I'm gonna dance to the beat of Amazing Grace. Gonna hold to the promise that you made to me. And I know whatever's gonna come my way, you're here with me, yeah. And it's gonna be a good day. Because you're for me.
Natalie Grant, sorry, slightly distracted there. I was having a look at the Activate magazine on the Sports Chaplaincy website. That's a good idea. I like that. And you can look at it online as well,
can you?
Yeah, indeed. Sportschaplaincy.org.uk. It has been a good summer of sport. I mean, the weather has been brilliant for some sports, hasn't it? I mean, it's been a nightmare for others, but it's been good for some. And you were involved in the Sports Sunday thing, weren't you?
Yeah, we did a little video to encourage people just to do something. Just to do something. So it was a simple video. Just, you know, so often in life, someone says, can you give us 110%? Can you give us 150%? You're thinking, I ain't got anything in the tank. And it was really to encourage people, just be a little bit more intentional. Can you give us 1%? Can you do something? And part of that was, most of us are engaged in a community, sports community, or any community in that sense. And it was to say, hey, can you just pray as you drop your kids off at the football club? Or can you pray for them? Not to win, but just pray for them. Or if you're on the touchline, we say talking on the touchline. So often when we're not intentional, we just get dragged along with this pack mentality. But if you go with that intentionality of, okay, I'm going to pray for this community, God, you know, wherever you're at work, can I join in? And just the 1% of being intentional, just being on your, not on your guard, but aware of what's happening around you.
Yes.
And you'll be surprised that God steps in and gives you great opportunities to share. And share's not talking at people. Sharing sometimes listening to people that allows you credibility to then speak into people's lives.
And just taking a glance over your magazine and so on, I mean, things do really seem to be growing for you guys in terms of the interest in chaplaincy in sport and involvement in sport across the home nations. I mean, England, Scotland, Northern Ireland and Wales, there are great opportunities for chaplains at the moment.
There are some fantastic opportunities, and I believe the church is just now seeing that it is a massive community with some great values, and where the children, where the next generations, and taking the church out of, we say church, but we actually mean a building. But church, you know and I know, is people, and it's about going to the people as well and saying, hey, we are church, and taking out of the four walls and being church to people and being hands and feet of Jesus, you know, looking at, I always say, what does Jesus see?
Yes.
Looking through the eyes of God. And when we do that, I'm moved, you know, we can do it naturally, but when we say, God, what do you see? And we see what God sees, it moves us. It compels us to do something different.
And looking at as well about your involvement in some of the smaller, and you've got chaplains now increasingly involved in some of the smaller, perhaps less obvious sports as well, and you know, things like local ice hockey clubs and stuff like that. And gyms. I mean, people getting involved in being a chaplain or an intentional presence in their gym community.
Yeah, and it's a fantastic opportunity. We all go, most people go to the gym, not because we want to get a six pack. Well, you know, I don't want to brag, but we all go to the gym for a variety of reasons. Paul, don't laugh at me.
No, I was trying to think of something to say to that, but actually, you know, it has to be said. He looks so fit this morning. I thought I better just keep my mouth shut.
Oh, you're so kind to me. You're so gracious. But we all go to gyms for different reasons, because we're overweight, because we've got to for just keeping fit in general life, but also because of a variety of reasons, obesity, being diabetics, whatever the reason you go to the gym, but there's a purpose. It's not, you know, so often we can stick our headphones on and ignore everyone, but it's not about ignoring everyone. It's about engaging that community.
Yes.
It's about engaging community.
Connecting with people. Making a difference. Now, if people want to make a difference and they want to get involved and they want to maybe give their 1%, how can people find out more about you, and how can people get in touch with you?
Well, they can jump onto the website, and if they're really interested, there's a tab called Become a Chaplain, and they can hit that tab and look at some more information and fill out the form, and we will happily engage with people and encourage, because it's not about us, it's about the local church being effective in their local community, and so we just want to support the local church to be effective in their local community.
And as we've said before, when we are looking around and we're going, oh, we would really love to be able to make a connection with our local community, evangelistically make a connection, sport is a great way to do it, and involvement in local sport is a great way to do it.
It's a fantastic way to engage with people in a positive... And my only comment would be, let's be consistent, don't go in and out, let's not treat sport as a vehicle, but let's treat it as a community. And when we treat it as a community, we get a community response.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a look at the website for yourself, sportschaplaincy.org.uk. All the details are there, the magazine that you can have a read of to find out what these guys have been doing and the opportunities that are available, the way that you can get in touch with them, and the way that you could, if you desired, become a chaplain, and the sort of availability of training and so on that is there. It's all on the website, sportschaplaincy.org.uk. And maybe more of us need to just pause and think, as sport plays such a big part in the lives of our communities, whether it's watching it, whether it's playing it, whether it is at a local level, whether it is by having a look at some of the elite stuff that's happening, national stuff, international stuff that's happening. People get caught up in it and people want to talk about it all the time. So what could we do to engage better and more intentionally with that idea? What could we do to give our 1%? It is what Warren and his guys are all about. And I said, you can find out more by having a look at sportschaplaincy.org.uk. Warren, love it to see you today. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, mate, it's a great seeing you. You're always an encouragement. Bless you.
You're listening to Paul Hammond on UCB One.
And we are going to go up to the news at 11 o'clock with Jason Castro and Rise to You. You're listening to UCB One. After the news, reading well and something involves. More than I can handle.